encourage him. So, guess what? Today is our last service at the hotel. Wow, we get to have the Sunday before Thanksgiving in our new place. So exciting. I want to give you warning now, though. It's not finished. But we decided if we can come here and set up, we can go there and set up. So if you come and do the tour today and pray over the place with us, you will see that there's still some work that needs to be done. Don't worry, too, when you see it today, we're going to get it deep cleaned in just a little while, actually. So it's dirty right now. It's been empty for 5 years, and we've done some work. So it needs some work as far as cleaning, and it still needs some work as far as some painting and some organizing, but we feel like we're close enough that we can get it done for next week. So I'm just excited. Please, please tell the staff on your way out how grateful we are for the way they have been so kind and gracious to us. And I want to tell you this too. Some of you didn't. I told this to, I can't remember who, somebody. And they were like, oh, Janet. I think it was Janet. And she was like, I didn't even know that. Since we've been here, we've had at least 3 guests that I know of that were from the hotel who came in and sat on our service. I know, right? Isn't that cool? So I know we've made an impact here, not only on the staff, but also on at least those 3 people. So you just never know what that kind of light does. And I'm confident that God had us here, and he had us for a reason, just like he had us at the picnic, at the pavilion that one Sunday. I know that he ordains our steps. And so I'm thankful for the time we've had here, but I'm so excited to go to our new location, too. Woo! It's going to be so great. Wah, wah, wah. I didn't know you drove, Miles. That's new for me. Okay. Okay, so we started. He said we have to drive further. That's all right. So we started last week on a message series we're calling One Another. I told you that over 100 times in the New Testament, the phrase is blank one another with different words in there. And so we believe that shows us that God, that's one of many things that shows us that God values community and connectivity. And I didn't bring this up last week, but you realize that God is community, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is community. So when he made us in his image, he made us to crave and need community. So last week we talked about forgive one another, and I had 10 points for you. They were be kind, be loving, forgive each other, be the new person, tell the truth, don't let anger make you sin, use your hands to do good, say good things that people need, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Today, the title is Motivate One Another. Motivate One Another. We're going to spend the only 2 passages we have today come from Hebrews. So if you have a hard copy old school Bible, turn to Hebrews and you'll be good for the whole time. We're going to start in chapter 10, but I want to give you a little background before we start reading with verse 19, because the second word of verse 19 is and so. And whenever I see the word so, I'm like, wait, what is it talking about? So I want to give you what came before the so that when we see the so, we know what it means. First of all, in Hebrews 10, the author is comparing the old system of sacrifices that have to be repeated every year. He's comparing that with Jesus becoming the perfect sacrifice. And he said that was a flawed system. Even though God created it, it wasn't very good because it had to be repeated all the time. And it really didn't take away sins. It just covered them with the blood of the lamb, of the animal. And then he goes on to say that Jesus canceled the first covenant in order to give the second covenant effect. Okay? I think sometimes we forget that. The first covenant has been canceled. We have a new one in place. That doesn't mean we disregard what God thinks is right and wrong. Not at all. the reverse, I think. It's that we don't have to work our way into salvation. Oh, I'm so glad. Because I think it's Galatians that tells us if you try to keep one of the laws, you have to keep all the laws. Woo, that's exhausting, you know? And so I'm just thankful that Jesus canceled the first covenant so that he could put the perfect covenant into place. And then in verse 14, this verse, I just had to read it, even though I didn't give it to Ron, says this, "For by that one offering, the death of Jesus, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy." Now, is that confusing to anybody else? Because if I have been made forever perfect, why do I need to keep being made holy? What? Like, that's confusing to me. But I embrace the fact that Jesus looks at me and he says, "You are forever perfect. Now let's bring you along and show you what that looks like." That's what I think. I don't know. Then he goes on to remind us of the verse in Jeremiah, at least in Jeremiah, I think one other place as well, where it says that God will write his laws on our hearts and write them in our minds. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. And that he will never again remember our sins or our lawless deeds. And that's where we pick up And so. Now, verse 19. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." Some of you know that in the old system, a priest had to cleanse himself to enter the holy place, the most holy place, and they would wrap a rope around his ankle, because if God struck him dead while he was in there because he wasn't holy enough, they would drag his body out of the most holy place. So I can't imagine a priest boldly entering the most holy place. I wouldn't be. I'd be like, hope I covered everything. Hope I remembered everything I was supposed to say and do, and I hope I got it right. Hope I clean behind my ears spiritually, you know? And so we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I saw three really clear points in that, and I'll share them with you. But the first thing I noticed, what the phrase "let us" was used 4 times in that short passage. Let us, not let me, let you, no. Let us. Again, that's that element of community that cannot be replaced by Lone Rangers. It just can't. So, number one, I think we need each other to stay hopeful. There are times when my hope wanes just like yours does. And I try to get around somebody that I know is going to have hopeful words for me. Mostly people in our church family, because I know I can count on you to encourage me to hope again. It's such a beautiful thing. And oh, the grace that we can get if we're bold enough and honest enough to say, "Ooh, I'm struggling a little bit today," then somebody can speak words of life and hope into me, and I can go, "Oh, that's true. That's true. I remember that now." And it doesn't come across as corrective in nature. It comes across as encouraging in nature. I think we stay hopeful by remembering the old system doesn't work. It just doesn't. That Jesus has forever made us perfect and we are being made holy at the same time. And then it gives us confidence to approach God. I feel so sad for people who can't be real with God, because I have found so much grace and mercy when I need it. When I approach him and go, I did this week once. I'm like, "God, I am so sad. I am so sad. I am grieving deep in my heart." And it was like he just spoke his words of life over me. And then I talked to someone else who I know is a person of hope, and they spoke words of life and hope over me. And it didn't take away the grief, but it somehow soothed it. And it made it like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true." You know? Point number two, we need each other to stay motivated. We need that. We need each other to stay motivated. I have been so inspired by the people who've come out and worked on the new property. I hear them motivating each other. I hear it. And sometimes going, "What are you doing? That's motivation." What are we doing? We're doing this. And then I don't know what we're doing after that, because there's a certain order that has to happen. And sometimes you just can't do what you want to do next until this is done. Does that make sense? There's been such beautiful teamwork. Judy said this morning, she said, "I hear these people up here talking as they're setting up, and I feel like it's actually been good for us to be homeless for a little while. It's actually brought us together. And it's made us more cemented in our team approach." We need each other to stay motivated. In the scripture, it says motivated to acts of love and to acts of good works. But here's the challenge. Unless you know someone well, you don't know what motivates them. Okay. So I was in seventh grade when Title IX was passed, you know, male and female sports together. I was in seventh grade, and so it wasn't really put into place until my eighth grade year. In seventh grade year, we had all-girls gym, and I loved it. I loved it. I had so much fun in gym. Like, it was my favorite class of the day, believe it or not. I'm not a sporty person, but I actually liked it when it was all girls. And then in eighth grade, it went to boys and girls together, and I hated it. Very much so. Partly because I had a new PE teacher that was a man who had zero clue on how to motivate me. Because I tried to treat us girls like he treated the boys. "What's wrong with you, you big wuss? Get up and do it." I'm like, that doesn't work. That just makes me want to quit. Now, some of you might get motivated that way. I'm not throwing stones at you. That does not motivate me. Even this is nuts to me. When I look back on it, one time he was so frustrated with the girls because we were like, "Yeah, we don't like that." He was so frustrated. He said, "Okay, girls, we're going to try something different today. We're going to have you run hurdles for the first time, and we're going to line the boys up on the sidelines to watch you." All the girls are like, "Ha! No, no." And the other thing I noticed was that when we were playing volleyball, girls and boys, and I was pretty good at volleyball when it was just girls, I didn't have a chance to show boys how good I was because they would dive in front of me to get the ball. And I'm like, I actually had that, you know. I'm not against boys, you know that. I have three sons. But you see, what someone thought would motivate me actually had the opposite impact on me. And when in our faith, we might think we're doing what works for us to motivate someone, and the other person is like, "Yeah, that is not working for me." you might as well line me up to run hurdles and put the boys on the side. No. You know? It does not work. And so part of living in community is learning to serve each other well in a way that feels like motivation. And we can get there. I think we do get there many times. But sometimes we miss it. Then we go back to last week's message, forgive each other. And that's okay too. That's okay too. So let me ask some of you, what motivates you in your faith? What motivates you in your faith? Ah, that's good. That his word is true. You can count on it. That's good. Matt? Yep. Being around other believers. Right. Right. They're all pointing to you, your grandkids. I love that. Roger? The future motivates you. Interesting. In what way? That's good. I like that. Jen? Oh, that's motivating to you. So when Carly asks you a question she knows the answer to, you like that. It motivates you. That's good. That's good. We were teasing about that yesterday. Megan? Ah. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's good. That's good. Kathy?
This is what works. I fooled around with several different things as a youngster, different churches, different systems. This is what works.
Ah, okay. So you see the success of it in other people, okay? Gail? Ditto. What she said. Alma? Ah, yeah. Feeling his presence motivates you. You know what's tough about that, Alma? For me, I agree with you 100%. But what's tough about that is sometimes I'll be in a worship experience, not so much here because I always feel his presence here. But there are have been times in my life when I've been in some place that they had a worship experience and somebody was like, wow, that the presence of God was so real. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I didn't feel that. And that's hard. So that's why together, if I can hear how his presence impacted you, then maybe I can go, well, even though I didn't feel it, maybe it was for Alma today. You know what I mean? And so that community factor definitely helps. Yeah. Midge?
Worship.
Yeah. Yep. That's good. That's good. Janet? Yep, me too. I love hearing stories. Jerry? Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That is true. Ron?
Kind of ties with Megan and Gail. The nature, but it's the seasons.
Mm.
That they are seasons. They're not forever. And whatever season we're in, there's no time. Just hang on.
Right, right. That's good. Wow, thanks for sharing that. And it's good for us to hear from each other what motivates each other. That's really good. Thank you. Point number three, we need each other to remember that Jesus will return for us. I think that kind of goes with what Roger said, the future. I feel like when I was growing up, it was talked about too much, if I'm being honest, in my opinion. It was almost like this escapist mentality, like, just bide time until he comes back. Now, I'm sure nobody ever told me that, but that's how it felt. But now it's almost like we've swung to the opposite end of the pendulum, and we never talk about Jesus coming back. And we need each other. We need to remind each other. This is not all there is. It's not all there is. It's just not. But here's some stuff I've learned about thinking about the return of Christ. And it's all through Scripture. In my opinion, you can't deny that it's going to happen if you look at the Scriptures honestly without picking and choosing. You know, I feel like it's strong there. But in my own life and my own experience, what I've learned is the more comfortable my life, the less I think about it. The more challenging our world seems, whether it's just my world or the whole world, the more I think about it. But here's the thing. Thinking about him coming back for us one day, whether I'm in the ground or, well, whether I'm dead or alive when he comes back, it doesn't make me want to give up. It doesn't make me want to jump ship. It doesn't. It actually has the opposite impact on me. Like, I want to say, okay, God, however long I'm here on this earth, I want to give it all. I want to leave it all on the field, God. If there's something that you want me to do, show me, because I want to do it well before you return or before I breathe my last. That's what I've learned about that. Huh? So far, we've discussed we need each other to stay hopeful. We need each other to stay motivated. We need each other to remember that Jesus is coming back. So we're halfway there. How am I doing on time? Oh, okay. I got to speed up a little bit. That's all right. Next, we're going to go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Again, it's the first word in this one is so. Let's give a little background, not a lot. The author has been talking about how much greater Jesus is than Moses. Now, this is not hard for us because we have a lot more understanding of Jesus than the audience here, the Jewish audience. Moses was basically God to them because he spoke for God. He met with God face to face. I mean, so they have this long, long history for hundreds and hundreds of years of looking at Moses as the guy. And now this author comes along and says, listen, Moses was great. He was a great servant of God, but Jesus is in charge of the whole household. Wow, okay. That's amazing. Then he goes on to talk about the fact that if we stop believing. Now, that doesn't mean thinking. That means making it such a fiber of our foundation that we act on that. We surrender to God's ways. If we stop believing in God's power and promise, it is impossible for us to enter into his rest. And I don't mean rest in peace rest. I mean rest. I looked up that word rest on a Jewish site. Interestingly, because I think sometimes there's insight there that we don't have from our way of thinking. And it said, a rest of love freely given. Oh, I really like that. A rest of truth and sincerity. A rest of peace and tranquility. A rest of delight and joy. So we can't enter into God's rest unless we keep believing in his promises, okay? Now it picks up on verse 12. So, brothers and sisters, be careful that none of you has the evil thoughts that cause so much doubt that you stop following the living God. But encourage each other every day while you still have something called today. Help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. We have the honor of sharing in all that Christ has if we continue until the end to have the sure faith we had in the beginning. I see three more points here. First of all, we need each other to keep following God. I found it interesting in that verse that it says, evil thoughts in our minds can cause so much doubt that we stop following God and his ways. Now, I don't think that's commentary on where you'll spend eternity. I really don't. It's about this life on earth and whether you're going to live in the abundance and the peace and the rest that God planned for you or whether you're not. There is a choice. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it. I think we also need each other, point five, to not be fooled by sin. There was a long time ago, about 14 years ago, 15 years ago, I was talking to a friend. Her initials are Rhonda Gilmore. And I was telling her about something that was going on in my heart, and I said, you know, I've been doing this, and I feel justified in doing it because of the situation. What do you think? I mean, Doug's laughing the hardest because he's probably hurt it the most. Her tenderness in her response to me and her total lack of judgment for me doing what I was doing, I will still treasure that moment. She said, well, it might be time to stop doing that. Do you remember that? Do you remember what I'm talking about? You don't? That's grace. But I'm telling you, she said it with such tenderness. You know, I didn't feel judged. I was like, oh, okay. Because I think she knew it would be easy for me to be fooled by sin in that moment. My wound was so great, you see. And when we're wounded is the most opportune time for the enemy to fool us with sin. So that tells you, number one, we got to figure out how to deal with our wounds. We need spiritual first aid kits in every person, on every person, all the time. But then the person who gets wounded has to want first aid. Has to want to get better. Because I don't want to be fooled by sin. I don't know about you. I don't want to be fooled by that. Because it says in that verse right there, let's see. If you get fooled by sin, what happens? You become too hard to change. Ooh, I don't want to do that. Last point, we need each other to keep our sure faith. I mean, if you look back over your life, your Christian faith life, you've probably had some highs and lows, and that's totally normal. But if we spend time together encouraging each other and motivating each other, we can actually keep that sure faith that we had. All the passion when you first came to experience the unending love of God. You can have that passion, the same that you had at the start. You can have that same overwhelming love and gratitude that you felt for God when you first realized He loved you anyway. And He keeps on loving you. But we need each other. This is why the writer tells us not to give up meeting together. And honestly, I cringed when I read that verse because I've heard it used as a club so many times. And I am not using it as a club today. I am telling myself and I'm reminding us as a group that we need each other. I need you. You need me. So let's not give up meeting together. It's easy to. A lot of us got out of the habit during COVID. It's easier to stay in your pajamas and watch something online. It's just easier. I don't have to do my hair. I don't have to do my makeup. It's comfy, cozy under my little blanket, you know. Oh, but hopefully it taught us that we need each other. We need it. There's something that can only be found when we're with one another. And it doesn't happen electronic, even on Zoom. I'm thankful for Zoom. We use it every Monday for prayer. I'm thankful for it. But it's different when you come together and I can see your face and I can hear the tone of your voice and I can feel your energy even. I can, like, it's different. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these people in this room who I just, I'm just so in awe of that they have not neglected coming together, even though these conditions are not prime right now. I am thankful that we do get to have our own space soon. And I just pray that you would help us to continue meeting together as often as possible, not just on Sunday morning even, but to continue meeting together because we need each other. We do. And I know that you created us to need each other. And so pray that you would help us. I know in my heart, I have this deep assurance that when we go to our new place, you're going to do some new stuff among us. You have dreams for us there. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to know how to love each other well, to forgive each other well, to motivate each other well, so that when somebody new comes, they recognize it also. And if we need to work on some area with your gentleness like Rhonda had for me, show it to us, Lord. Show it to us. Because we want to keep following you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week at our new home, and then in a few minutes, they'll need about 15, 20 minutes to tear this down and pack it up. Is that right? And in about 15 or 20 minutes, we'll meet at the new location and do a tour. And then we'll stop for 2 minutes and pray over it. And then you go do what you're going to do. Okay? Love you guys. Thank you.